Welcome to the Trauma Informed Lens podcast. Each week, Matt, Kurt, Jerry, and the occasional special guest explore how the trauma-informed paradigm challenges traditional beliefs and approaches concerning a wide variety of areas. This podcast addresses psychological trauma in an educational manner and is not designed to replace mental health treatment. If anything in this podcast makes you feel uncomfortable or anxious, please talk to a mental health professional.
Welcome, friends, to the Trauma Informed Lens podcast. With me today, we got Kurt and we got Jerry. So the three of us are going to discuss a pretty huge week in the realm of trauma. We usually record these on Thursday, the week before they come out on Tuesday. But Jerry was in Florida. What were you, Jerry? About 200 par for the week, golfing down there. So we weren't able to record last week, but since last Thursday when we would have recorded, there's been some huge news in our world of trauma. And so we're going to discuss Oprah Winfrey's real support and buying in on this and the 60 Minutes episode. I've seen her on three national TV shows, and I'm not sure I hit all of them. She was doing the Van Jones show as well. And really, really becoming a powerful advocate for this on a huge stage. I don't know if you guys remember, but at our end of the year episode, when we were all doing wishes for what we would like to see for the movement, my wish is that a celebrity with more than the 350 Twitter followers that I have would take up this cause. And I checked, and I think Oprah has 49 million followers just on Twitter. So I got my wish and then some. So we'll talk about the impact of this and what we hope this will look like moving forward. I also do want to acknowledge, sort of before we get into this as well and talk about our bright, shiny objects, that Bessel van der Kolk, there was news, and also I'll put a link to this on our podcast, because there's not a whole lot of information that I've seen come out with this, but if you're not familiar with van der Kolk's work, his book, The Body Keeps Score, I know was one of the real powerful pieces of trauma research in my own development as a trainer. And also, to be honest, with some of my personal healings as well. I recognize stuff out of reading that book that, you know, hey, I may be carrying some of this stuff around. Maybe it's not impacting my psychology all that much, but, you know, just paying attention to the body, his work with trauma-informed yoga has just really informed me over the years. And it's come out that he has been fired from the organization that he started 35 years ago for mistreating female employees. And he's suing them. So it's in the allegation piece of this whole thing. But I think for a lot of us who, as we were kind of talking before the podcast, I put van der Kolk on the Mount Rushmore of trauma-informed care up there with Bruce Perius, Dr. Bloom, and Dr. Jerry Yeager are my four. if I had to pick some up there, I guess Herman would be
the maintenance. I clean those statues.
Yeah. Maybe Judith.
That's
Herman
closer than
too.
I get to them.
It's like Jerry and Judith, you know, but there's been so, Ogden would be up there, but I won't go out on my Mount Rushmore. That's another episode. He would definitely be up there. And I think for a lot of us who are familiar with his work, to hear that, again, it's alleged at this point that one of our heroes who has helped so many people healed may have been really hurting people in a different part of his life and his organization. Pretty devastating news. So again, we're going to flip that switch though. If we get more information about that, we may have an episode on workplace trauma and some other stuff like that. But that's the information. We just want to acknowledge that's out there, and big news on that end. And then a huge piece that we're going to talk about, because we got a lot more information on this, is again, Oprah Winfrey coming out as a huge advocate for trauma-informed care and what that might mean to the movement we all care so much about. But on the other hand, almost as big as news as Oprah Winfrey's 60 Minutes report is the Trauma-Informed Lens. We are celebrating, gentlemen, 6 months of our podcast today. So if I'm doing the math right, 26 weeks equates roughly to the 6 month point. So For our bright shiny objects this week, I just kind of want to get your guys' sort of reflection on our journey at this point. 26 episodes is nothing to be, that's, not something to be ashamed of. And if you look at our topic sheet, we've got a lot more to talk about. So, Kurt, I'll start out with you, man. It, 6 months, my friend, we've been on this journey together. Just kind of wanted to, at this point, get some of your reflections on what's been your experience talking to all these experts, having these conversations in ourselves, and just some reflections on looking back on the 6 months we've been doing this together.
The first word that pops into my head is how enjoyable it is to be able to sit and talk with two of my good friends about something that I care so much about. That's always been really enjoyable, and getting more people involved in talking with us as well. That's really fun. I like talking to people, and I like hearing new ideas and learning new ideas. So that's really enjoyable to me. So I get fed by that, certainly, and that's been really important to me. I also have had really great experiences hearing about the impact that the information has. And that's really fun to hear from people who've worked with me in the past and people that I don't know, coming back and saying, well, this really made a difference to me, and now my world makes more sense. That's really enjoyable to hear. So I look forward to doing this every week and miss it when we don't do it. And I get real excited about it. So it's been a pleasure. And certainly I think of feelings of really gratitude to the two of you for doing this and letting me be a part of it. So thank you to both of you.
You as well, my friend. And yeah, I was missing you all last week. I just kept thinking about Jerry playing golf, and that put a smile on my face. So Jerry, what about you, my friend? What are just some reflections that you've had in this 6 month period?
Well, I, first of all, I didn't know it was 6 months, so I'm not really good at anniversaries. So thanks for reminding me. I think having time to sit and reflect on the work always allows us to, especially for me, but I think for all of us, to put the information together in new and creative and innovative ways. And I think by engaging in dialogue with the two of you allows me to reflect on lots of things that I've learned and lots of things I know and lots of things I'm learning along the way. So I think having an opportunity to share and to reflect, and then to share that with the people that are listening, has been pretty significant, I think, for me to kind of look at. And it's also helped me in my work, because as I sit down and get ready for each of these episodes, and throughout the day after the episode, think about, oh, I should have said that. This is a better way to be saying that, right? To do it, is it's percolating in my head to kind of do it. So I thank the both of you for the opportunity and creating a space for me to be reflective of the work. I also think that as we get into Oprah today to talk, the more people talk about this stuff, the less stigmatizing it is for some of the people out there that have endured some of these experiences. And I think that, one of the terrible parts of trauma is to be isolated and feel separate from others. And that if in any way that us talking about this gives people the sense that it's okay to talk about it and then to reconnect with people in their own lives, then I feel really, really proud of the work that we're doing. So that this is a healing journey for all of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would echo that too, is that it's, as sort of the guy, it's been an interesting experience for me, because anybody that knows me is a little shocked to see my role on this podcast as the person that organizes and sort of tries to structure, because not necessarily the role I try to put myself in, because it's not a strength set, but I've kind of enjoyed being the question guy as that role has evolved, and the fact that I can kind of trip you two up with good questions every once in a while is something I've started to take great pride in. other reflections too. I think this was kind of an idea. I think Kurt and I may have approached it with Kurt over maybe a second beer we were having when we were reconnecting when he moved back to town. I mean, do you think we could get Jerry involved in this? And then we had a whole conversation about how much time it would take to get Jerry familiar with the technology to do this. And you've done good, my friend. You've done good. And so
longer than 6 months, I tell
yes,
you.
Yes. And one of the, I mean, it's just, and I want to thank our listeners too, as I'm very clear about, we're really three mental health professionals trying to do a podcast and not three podcasters trying to talk about mental health. I can, if you see the video, I'm on my third microphone. I'm trying to learn not to scream when I talk. So this has been a good professional development for me as well. So thank you guys for going on this journey with me. It's been a lot of fun. So, and then this happened. I just thought we would do a 6 month reflection, what we've learned. And my friend Ann Beer from Colorado Spring, who does a lot of amazing work with homelessness down there, sent me a link on Thursday night. I didn't get it, and so I opened it on Friday morning. And I want to share with you here, and I'll do this with video if you're on YouTube, watch us on YouTube or the website. But I just want you to share, and I think everybody should hear the audio here about how I woke up on Thursday morning.
The reason why I'm so excited about this story is because I know you were excited. You took it to 60 Minutes. As a matter of fact, when we were doing the critical review of the pieces, as you know, you go through the review process with Jeff Baker, and Jeff decides whether it's ready or not. And I said to them in the room that this is the reason why I came to 60 Minutes. I'm always looking for the deeper meaning. This story is so important to me, and I believe to our culture, that if I could dance on the tabletops right now to get people to pay attention to it, I would. It has definitively changed the way I see people in the world. And it has definitively changed the way I will now be operating my school in South Africa and going forward any philanthropic efforts that I'm engaged in. Because
it's huge for you to say that, Oprah.
It's huge.
Yeah.
If I could be a dancing emoji about it, I would. Because I think it's that important to our culture.
And it's changed your view from what to what?
Well, what I recognize is that a lot of NGOs, a lot of people who are working in philanthropic world who are trying to help disadvantaged, challenged people from, you know, backgrounds that have been disenfranchised are working on the wrong thing. And unless you fix the trauma that has caused people to be the way they are, literally change the way brains operate if you're in a chaotic environment as a child, unless you fix the trauma, you're working on the wrong thing. So for instance, you have job programs and training programs and all that stuff that we've been doing for years, but if you don't fix the hole in the soul, the thing that need that is where the wounds started, you're working at the wrong thing. So it's changed the way I operate my school. We've now become, as a result of this piece that I did on 60 Minutes, I went back to my board and said, hey, we've been doing it all wrong. We need to be a trauma-informed care institution.
One child welfare agency in Milwaukee said that they even changed their approach to a child instead of what's wrong with you to what happened.
I will have to say, Bianna, that was the life-changing question that my whole senses responded to. See, we go through life and we see kids who are misbehaving, and juvenile delinquents, we label them. And really the question that we should be asking is not what's wrong with that child, but what happened to that child. And then having the resources to be able to address what happened to you. The most important question you can ask of anybody, which is what I now say, even for the Parkland shooting, instead of what's the matter with that kid, I say, what happened to that child?
But it's a personal story for you. Number one, it's in Milwaukee where you were raised.
Yeah.
You certainly suffered trauma there. You weren't physically abused in your home, but you talked very candidly about
that. I got enough whippings to call it physical. We just didn't call it physical.
Yeah, right, right.
Today
it would be. But you've certainly been very candid about the sexual abuse, and a lot of these kids suffer from PTSD. I marvel, Oprah, that the environment you grew up in, that you don't seem to have suffered from PTSD.
Well, this is
are you rethinking that?
No, I'm not. No, I definitely do not have PTSD.
Okay.
I definitely. So, and the reason I didn't, because I asked Bruce Perry this question, who's head of the Child Trauma Institute, how come some kids, like myself, raised in chaotic environments,
turn out to be okay. And it's directly proportional to the relationships. So he was saying, for me, for instance, it was school. I found my refuge in school. I found my place in school from teachers. So everybody needs somebody growing up that says, I believe in you, you're okay, things are going to be all right. And that could be a teacher, that could be a coach, that could be somebody in Sunday school. You know?
And so that interview goes on a little bit, but I gotta tell you, gentlemen, you know me, I'm an emotional guy already, but when I heard that on Thursday morning, I broke down. It was so powerful to hear the words that I've probably repeated hundreds, if not thousands of times, coming out of Oprah's mouth on national television. And I just kind of want to step back, and as you guys sort of see this kind of moment in the history of trauma-informed care that we've been working on for so long, what when you see Oprah on a national morning show on 60 Minutes on CNN talking about saying the words even trauma-informed care, and Jerry, let me start with you on this, because I know you've been doing this the longest and out there as an advocate, and got the two of us in this. Just kind of what your reflections are on this moment in time.
Well, the first question that came to my mind is, I wonder what bulb went on for Oprah after 20 years of this stuff being present. And I know that she's interviewed and talked to people, but something clicked for Oprah about that. And I think that that's a really important for all of us doing therapy or training, is that you could say things to people and they could hear you, but they don't really hear you. And then one day the bulb goes on and they see the world in a different way. And I think really what Oprah's saying is, I not only know this stuff now, but I could see this stuff. I could feel this stuff. And that it there was a shift in her. And that's that paradigm shift that you look at. And I you know, Matt, you and I talk about this thing all the time. Do you think people know this stuff? I think people know this stuff, but there's a difference between knowing it and then actually being able to see it and experience it and use it in a different way. So when I heard Oprah, I one was excited to hear her talk about that, but I also witnessing somebody actually having that aha moment of saying, "Oh, I get it now, and this is life changing," and that really, that's really what our podcast and what so many other people around the country are trying to do, is in some ways disseminate information, but really change the way people conceptualize and think and react to people who have been injured, who have been hurt. It's not that they're sick, it's not that they're bad, it's that they're injured. And that when you see that and can really truly ask that question, you know, what happened to you? I see you, I know, I can hear you. That there's a healing process right in that interaction, that somebody finally gets to have an experience of what Oprah said, is somebody finally shows up and stops dealing with my behavior or stops dealing with their own projections of who they think I am, but actually sees and hears me and connects with me. And that's what I kind of heard when Oprah talked about that. That's why she's dancing on tables.
Yeah, I know. It's like, yes, I know that feeling. I also had the feeling is, oh, well, this is why everything I've tried to do all to this point in my career has failed pretty miserably. But, you know, and I think to hear her have the aha moment, but then go to her school, as if you've heard her talk about this, and say, we got to become a trauma-informed care institution as well. So realizing that from her leadership role in that institution that's had its ups and downs, I think, you know, the mission behind it's a great work. But, I mean, it's been pretty public that they've had their struggles as well. And really, she said, you know, we've been doing this wrong the whole time. And I think that that's, you know, just to see someone else on again, national TV have that moment that Jerry had in your office at Denver Children's Home 16, 17 years ago now is pretty pretty amazing. So she articulates her existential crisis is probably better than I do, but
it's not as funny to watch.
No, she's much more regular. She's got the secret and all that stuff going on with her. So she's a lot more regulated than this.
A little more contained than you are, Matt.
Yes. Kurt, what about you, my friend? Kind of sitting back and watching this roll out the last few days.
I had two kind of distinct reactions. One of them is kind of the emotional side of me, and the other one is the very operational side of me. And so one of them, I was like, oh, this is so great. It's so great to hear her say this and have that kind of moment or series of moments that I experienced as well to go, oh, I get it. Okay, now I get it. And then I heard her say, and I went to my board and I said, we need to be trauma informed. And I was like, it doesn't happen like that. Like, it's not that easy. This is the beginning of a long process and there will be a lot of struggle. And here you got to do step one and then you got to go to step two. And then you probably got to go back to step one again. So that was kind of immediately where my head went. I was like, oh, it's not that easy. It's a process and it will take time. And there will be lots of people along the way who will either get it or not get it. And you have to also be trauma-informed with them. And so that was kind of where my second reaction to that was, we got work to do now.
Yes, yeah, and I think that's the realization. She probably can hire somebody for $3 million to go do that work for her, but she's in that fortunate position.
I think Jerry's available for that.
I know, there is Oprah if you need us. I think the three of us would be for probably much cheaper than that, willing to go over and help, so. But I had sort of those kind of similar reactions. I've been thinking about this ever since my friend Ann sent me that clip is, what sort of, if you think about who knew about trauma-informed care before Oprah, if we want to do before Oprah and after Oprah, I just kind of wonder about the social impact. And again, this is a wonder because I don't have any real concrete thoughts about what the impact of this will be. But, between 60 Minutes, The Van Jones Show, CBS This Morning, and probably other shows that I'm not familiar with right off the top of my head is, you took a group of people that folks like us have been really, working our butts off to train and spread this word around, that we, and I think the three of us have talked about a little bit, is we've noticed something different in the last couple years, that there's sort of maybe was even a tipping point happening in our fields before Oprah kind of got on board with a lot of this stuff and became an advocate as well. And so this was building on top of it, but what do you think just sort of the societal potential implementations, if we do our advocacy right, maybe that now maybe 100 times more people, 1,000 times more people have been exposed to this idea? It's not just people in the mental health, the schools, many of which may be also hearing about this for the first time, but just kind of what do you think from a societal level, the impact that this can be, or also the opportunities that this could open up for us. Jerry, let's go with you on that first.
Well, first thing that, not necessarily responding to your question, but indirectly responding to your question, I was thinking about the connection for Oprah between the Me Too movement and where her bulb went off. In some ways, so many people who have been hurt and injured have been coming out in the public and talking about their experience. Mm-hmm. And I think we get in some ways caught up in the event and kind of immediately focusing on what should happen to the perpetrator. The news goes to the perpetrator. And I think the loss of the victims in that and their experience and what impacts those have on their lives and how they felt and what's gone on. And I think for Oprah, going back to kind of talking about ACEs, maybe it can help us keep the victims in mind as we as we move through this. Looking at, these figures, public figures that have status and what's happening to them, but really in some ways connecting with what's the experience of the individuals who have gone through this, and how can we see and hear them in a way that doesn't have this long-term negative impact for them. Mm-hmm. So I hope that that Oprah, it comes more, not so much this kind of public relations campaign that goes on, but that we all really could in some way stop and truly see people that have been hurt in our culture, whether they're homeless or whether they're hungry or whether they've been sexually abused, physically abused, but see the person and stay with them through that process. So that was just one of the things that as I was looking at it, and when Oprah does something, it's Oprah, right? But it's really not about Oprah. It's about really the experiences Oprah has had and how she has a platform to be able to talk where other people can't talk about those things. So I really applaud her, but as a society, we need to not lose sight of the people who have really been hurt in our culture to kind of look at that piece. So going back to that, what was your question?
Well, what might be the society? You kind of answered it. Here's what happens.
It was an unconscious process. Right. But my heart and my, goes out when these public relations things happen, is that we miss the people that, and I want the people that we're talking to, are the people that are actually dealing with the people and really having, maybe using this as a moment to stop and see the person that's in front of you and working with you. And in some ways say, like that avatar, I see you.
Yeah.
That's the experience that people need. I see you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's
an interesting kind of process, I think, that is involved in that level of this work, and that when people hear about and start to understand the implications of the question, what happened to you versus what's wrong with you, I've over and over again, I've seen that create some real dissonance for people where they know they should do something differently, but they're not quite sure what to do yet. And so that, I think, is a level of support that's going to be necessary as people go, start to see that the people who are interacting with all of the people who've been through ACEs are going to need help and support around what do I do differently now.
I did a training yesterday for a school district, and a very brave woman stood up and she said, what do you do with all the feelings when you get that aha moment of going back and for all the children and experiences you've missed along the way, and the feelings of guilt and shame of now I see what I've missed before. And I think that's really one of the, when that bulb goes on, then you have to say is, oh my God, did I miss something before that I could see now? And I think that's part of the change process, mm-hmm. kind of looking at that piece. But she said is, I could see that people getting really, really defensive because they don't want to kind of deal with looking at that and feeling that kind of experience.
It can make you feel like you failed in a lot of ways.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, the other thing that I thought was fascinating, as I was just having this emotional evening on Sunday, which again is not anything unusual for me. But again,
so it was just like,
I was recording this stuff because I hate commercials, and my wife was doing this project for work, and I got online, and every time I open Facebook, something terrible happens, like hearing the Evander Call news. But then when 60 Minutes came on, I thought it was a very interesting entire hour. Because you started out and I think it really set up, and I think it, hopefully, I was just trying to think who's watching this right now. Is the president watching this? Is our governors watching this? Are our policymakers watching this? Because it started out with a horrible story. I mean, it was a good story, but a horrible topic of basically immigrants dying in the back of tractor trailers. Kind of once they're in the United States and have got come over, then they put them all in this, they pack them in. I mean, it just reminded me, and I don't, I hope everybody takes this analogy without any offense, but you know, when you saw some of the x-rays of people in these, I mean, it looks like how they line people up in slave ships, like right next to each other, almost on top of each other as human cargo, and would ship them around the country, and how so many people were dying in this process. Then it shifts over to Betsy DeVos, and I will try not to get political here, but it seems universally like that interview was a train wreck for everybody who watched it. And then it moved to Oprah. And so there was also this, you know, to see trauma in the context of immigration, school shootings, because wisdom or not, she was placed ahead of school safety committee that's supposed to look at all this stuff. And so on one hand, you have the Secretary of Education admitting that she's never been into a struggling school, that she only goes to high performing schools, and that she's never been into a struggling one. And then to contrast that, you have the trauma piece. So I just kind of, I kind of sat back and as I was watching this and didn't really learn much new, but I hopefully as a trainer, I would have known Bruce. I thought Bruce Perry did a great job on the episode, but I just kind of wondered, well, what does it mean if your governor hears this for the first time? I know we're lucky in Colorado that I've actually, our current governor, I was right there with Jerry as Jerry was talking to him about this, and I knew that wasn't his first conversation with our Governor Hickenlooper. But you know, how many governors now know about this? How many state legislators, how many Senate members and House members at the federal level? And I just kind of want to, as we look at this, if you guys have any thoughts about, for our listeners out there that now have at least a clip of 60 Minutes, who may have had their policy makers made aware of this, again, by Oprah, which is pretty good. Oprah said it. What are some of your reflections and thoughts about maybe what we can do to maximize this opportunity in this moment in the history of this movement? And just wanted to see what your guys' thoughts kind of to get this, take advantage of this time and place we find ourselves in.
I think, well, one of the things that is a pretty simple thing that can be done that has a big impact is to ask the question about what happened to this person, and to write that into service delivery statements and into like how things happen, into like, I'll give you an example. I got the great opportunity in the last couple of weeks to really talk about adding some services to services within the state that help people get and maintain jobs, which I think is hugely important. And one of the things that I got lucky enough to do was to write some descriptions of adding some new services that you can actually help people to get a better understanding of their world and of their behavior and how they're interacting with the world. And so I got to write, what does this assessment process look like? And what does this service delivery process look like? And I was pretty liberal, and I, you know, we'll see if it gets adopted, right? But I was pretty liberal in saying that there needs to be a trauma screening as a part of this. And there needs to be services delivered with an understanding of relationships and attachment and neurobiology, and put all those perspectives into the expectations of how services get delivered. So those are simple, you know, things that can have a big impact, just to make sure that people are asking the question and trying to find out within our normal processes of what happened to this person, and incorporating that into how do we help this person and how can we help them to maximize their strengths.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So really looking at that from, again, our direct service, because again, that's been the interesting thing, I think, over the last couple of years is, you know, like half of my work now is sort of being called back to go to the 202 level, the 303 level of trainings for folks around this issue. And then the other part of my work is still introducing the adverse childhood experience study to folks for the very first time, and watching those light bulbs go off for the first time. So, you know, as this sort of, as Oprah gets it and it's on national TV, realizing that so many of the folks within our education systems, even mental health systems, again, those social systems like homelessness, job training programs, all those things that we look at is we still got to spread this word within our systems so that people know to just, again, ask that question. And I think we've got to make sure we don't jump too far ahead and assume that, okay, we all know this now. Let's move towards action. So I think that's a great insight, just making sure structurally that these are in our proposals, that we try to factor this in before we start a brand new program and jump ahead. Jerry, what are some of your thoughts on this as well?
Let me see if I could stay somewhat focused on the question. Really what's coming to my mind is that the two episodes before really highlighted, one is the traumas that people are experiencing that are coming here. They're just not coming here because I'm want to go on vacation and I want to get someplace different. They're leaving something that in some ways they're looking for some kind of sanctuary. And in the process, they put themselves in some pretty dangerous situations that are horrendous. And the school, you know, if I take the issue out about, you know, Betsy DeVore and the political piece, is really trying to look at events and kind of solve events. Like, what do we do now that this person has a gun and came into the school? What do we do? But I think following up with Oprah's point was, we got to stop building programs or interventions to deal with events and look at what's happening to children in our culture that's leading to these types of things. And that investing in children, in the quality of their lives, in the quality of their relationships, in the types of experiences they're exposed to, can have such long-term positive impacts on all of these issues that we are dealing with, whether it be health issues or whether it be social issues. You know, really, if we build a program at the end for somebody who leaves, who has to flee here, and we build a wall, we didn't really address the issue of what's happening in their world that caused that. If we build a program and we put walls with guns with turrets on our schools, we're still not safer because we didn't deal with the real issues that's coming. The real issue has to do within our communities and the stress that children are under and the lack of resources and how we need to invest in our community to be connected to each other in ways. So I think that the sequence of events and what, you know, Dr. Perry so succinctly said was, what, it's not the experiences you've been through, it's the quality of the relationships that you have. Mm-hmm. And how do we help kind of create those kind of relationships in our community for children growing up that we can, in the long term, make a reduction in these kinds of things really truly instead of just dealing with events. I think the investment in children and in the quality of their lives is going to have such a long-term benefit for our culture and our society and the world as a whole that we look at that. So I think you can get caught up in each of those events, but they all were tied together is that in some ways we're talking about people who've had some level of adversity in their lives that they've found solutions that one harmed them and then in another one harmed somebody else. But really they were all, the question is what happened to them earlier and how do we change that trajectory?
Absolutely. And I just, you guys really, I think summed that question up really well. I guess the one thing I would add to it is for people to think about, for especially from the policy level, because a lot of times when I think we can look at any of the systems we work with. A lot of times one of the challenges is to give people the resources they really need. You know, in rural areas, are there trauma-trained therapists to give these services when we identify folks? Do we have enough mental health services in schools? I think all of us outside the attention that it gets from the shootings is we just need a lot of more mental health resources in our schools for kids experiencing trauma. And would that decrease these big events? I would imagine over time, if we're patient enough, we would see a decrease in that. And so, you know, I think one of the opportunities that this spotlight really gives us is to think about the policymakers you have access to. If you're lucky enough that you can walk in the governor's office today and talk to your governor about it, that's awesome. Most of us don't have that ability, don't have that access to power. But could you go in and maybe send an email to the principal of your kid's school with a link to the 60 Minutes episode? Or I almost think, honestly, the CBS This Morning and the Van Jones clips where Oprah's talking about it is in some ways even a better introduction for people, because it's Oprah telling about her story in a very powerful way. But maybe send some links to people. You know, do you have a city council member that you can know and have coffee with? And just really trying to figure out, you know, who do you have access to? And just because, again, you don't have that hotline to Mar-a-Lago or President Trump, not to be disheartened by that, because most, really, if you look at any social justice change throughout history, it starts at the local level. So your community, your school can really be a driver for this nationwide as well. So always look, I always like to say, start with the person you can connect with. And again, most of us can reach out to the principals at our schools and start the conversation. So again, when you send a link with Oprah, you know, they know you're not just some crazy Yahoo out there who has the next flavor of the month, so to speak. But hey, Oprah's talking about it, baby. So hopefully that opens some more doors with that as well. So any other closing thoughts, fellas, before we transition out for this episode? All right. I'll take that silence, as we've covered it pretty good. So I just want to give everybody, I had this whole plan for 6 months that we were going to talk about a topic that I've been dying to talk about, which is trauma and how it impacts our ability to exert volition, and getting to that topic that I can't wait to talk about, Kurt, with free will. What is free will? How does that manifest in our biology? So this was sort of my treat to us of 6 months in to explore a topic I've been dying to talk about from my nerdy perspective. So that's going to be pushed back to episode 27, but I really encourage you to join us, because one of the things that we know is a lot of times it's hard for people to change behavior when prefrontal cortex may not be struggling to be online because of dysregulation and a whole lot of other things. So not just a nerdy topic, but one I think that challenges a lot of the existing paradigms that we're operating under on, and why some of those paradigms don't always work. So I think that'll be a great discussion for next week. And Jerry and Kurt, I look forward to our 1 year anniversary coming up in another 26 weeks. So you guys have a great week. As always, you can find show notes, discussion questions, throw some links up there to the clips that we were talking about today at traumainformedlens.org. You can also see the videos up there if you haven't seen us in person. You can see what a good looking group we are. So until next week's, my friends, thanks for listening. And please, if you have any thoughts on our discussion today, please put them in the comments section. We love to see those, and we try to respond to each and every one. So thank you, guys. Thank you, Kurt and Jerry. Everybody have a great week, and we'll see you next week for our great discussion on volition and free will. Thanks again.
Thanks, Matt.